Okay, we'll call the meeting to order at 6 o'clock, May 16th. Thank you, everybody, for coming. It's nice to see such a large crowd. We will approve the agenda for Tuesday, May 16th, regular council meeting.
I make a motion to approve the agenda for Tuesday, May 16th, 2023.
Sorry, can I make one addition? The auditors. I'd like to add the auditors into new business, please.
To new business?
Yeah. So 12F.
Why not speak up so much? I can't do it.
Okay. So F, auditors. Is there anything else? If not, can I have...
Okay, I approve the agenda as amended. For Tuesday, May 16th, 2023.
Okay. All those in favor of approving the agenda? And it is carried. Do you guys want to move your chairs closer so you can hear?
Oh, we're good now.
Are you?
Yep.
Okay. So we will, at this time, we'll recess the council meeting, and can I ask for a motion to go into the public hearing?
I'll make the motion to start the public hearing.
Okay. So the public hearing for bylaw number 838 is officially open. We do have our planner is coming, but there was an accident on the bridge in Lethbridge, so he is delayed, but he is on his way. So if we can't answer your questions, he will be here shortly. So the purpose of the public hearing is to consider amendments to the land use bylaw and to add provisions to the land use bylaw to better regulate the use, parking, and storage of private recreational vehicles on parcels of land within the municipality. So I am Mayor Kim Nichols, and at the end it's Deputy Mayor Doug Fraser, Councillor Sue Fraser, and Sue Dahl, sorry.
We used to be Fraser.
Still stuck there. Our CAO, Kelly McLeod, and our planner, Steve Hardy, will be here shortly. So the public hearing is held in pursuant to the Municipal Government Act as amended. So the CAO will review the nature of the hearing and give an overview of the bylaw proposal.
Okay, so the bylaw is being proposed based on other similar bylaws that are being enacted across Vulcan County. It is basically to itemize what exactly makes up a recreational vehicle, as well as what you can do with your recreational vehicle on your parcel of land. So the county was having some issues kind of in the north area closer to the lake where people would buy land and just have multiple RVs on there, and the people in the area were not liking that, so they are trying to kind of stomp that out. So basically we're just kind of following suit with the rest of what the county is doing. Is that okay? Good.
So I find a contract. My name's
Ron. Hang on. Just a second. Just hang on. Not yet.
Yeah, I don't know any of this stuff.
Yeah, not yet. So I will go over the rules of conduct, and what it will be is oral presentations before council can be brief and to the point and limited to 3 minutes. Council wishes to receive input from the public. And those making presentations, we ask that you state your name and review your points rather than ask questions of council. So we ask you to address council in if you're in favor or against. There's to be no debating amongst members of the public, and anyone acting out or being disrespectful will be asked to leave. After each presentation, the mayor will allow members of council to ask questions to the presenter to clarify details of their presentation. Please state your name for the record and indicate in your presentation if you are in favor or opposed to the bylaw, or if you're seeking clarity on the purpose of some provisions of the bylaw. The order for presentations will be as follows. Those members of the public who have submitted written briefs to council on the proposed adoption of the bylaw amendment, other members of the public who would like an opportunity to address council on the proposed bylaw amendment, and any other person or agency who wishes to be heard. So at that, I think what we'll do is, do you guys want to stand up and state your name, and then we can hear your presentation. So at this time, okay, so Ron, if you want to stand up.
I'm Ron, down, I live here in town.
Okay.
Maybe I can't ask this question and have to talk about the bylaw, I don't know. But it kind of contradicts itself as to how many recreation vehicles you can have on a lot with a structure on it. And then at the bottom, it says up to two personal recreation vehicles may be temporarily stored at owner's parcel, provided temporarily stored, it says. But up here, it says pretty much you can have that. So what does it mean if you got a... My question is, what does it mean if they're saying you can have a dwelling, you can have up to two recreation vehicles, and then down at the bottom here, it says temporary.
Where?
So what does it mean? You can have a lot, you can have a dwelling, you can have two recreation vehicles, and that's what it says, you can do that. But down here it says, add to Schedule 1, temporary.
So I think what... We can talk to Steve when he arrives, but I think temporary means that they're not a dwelling, so they're not set there forever and permanently.
Most
RVs are temporary anyways because you would take them out to go camping and bring them back.
Most people don't live in their RVs. So
we can ask Steve about that if that's not clear.
That's what people are doing.
Yeah. Okay.
Dale Humphreys,
Kate.
Okay, I got lot 3, and I just picked it up, and I asked when I was talking to Kelly down at the office there. I talked to her and her co-worker, and I explained what I was going to do, and they said, okay. So I didn't own the place 4 days, and I'm getting letters stating get your stuff out of there, and Kelly said otherwise we would be told by Friday. I talked to the bylaw guy. That's not the case at all. So threatening me with dragging all my vehicles out of there after they said it was okay, and then calling bylaw on me to get it out of there. Then I talked to him, and he says, and I want to know, when does this take effect? I see what it says at the bottom here. Is everybody grandfathered in until this thing takes effect? Or does everybody have to just change their whole lifestyle and start dragging, you know, like, I mean, you know what I'm saying? So... that's what I'd like to know.
Okay, so should I? Okay, so the bylaw as it currently stands is in effect and has been since, I believe, 2013. And you cannot store any vehicles on a vacant residential lot, period. This bylaw has nothing to do with that bylaw. That one's been in effect for over 10 years.
Well, you said it was okay, then all of a sudden it wasn't. Then I called the bylaw guy. He says, just so long as it's looking good in there, and I checked everything out. There's plates on everything. If your lawn was bad, he says, I'd have to get a hold of you. But he says, everything looks good to me. So it was $500 to get everything over there. It was going to be okay. Now all of a sudden it isn't.
Okay.
So please explain to me. I mean, you got to be grandfathered in for this. You just can't spring this on somebody and change somebody's, you know.
So nothing has changed in the original land use bylaw in regards to your situation. That land use bylaw has been in effect for 10 years.
I talked to you, Kelly.
I understand that. This is not a place for that discussion. We're not debating. I'm just answering your question.
We're here for a public hearing for bylaw 838.
Oh, okay.
And so that's...
I told you what I had to say.
Yes.
That's my story, and I'm not for it.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay.
Would anyone else like to speak?
I have one more question. I didn't use 3 minutes, so I still got like a minute.
Okay.
Hi, my name's Ron again. I'm a pain in the butt. Oh, sorry, I didn't see Stan.
That's okay.
So, if nobody complains about, if everybody's okay around that area, the neighbors, i.e. the neighbors, is it okay? I've got some people in town here have some RVs. If nobody complains about they're not living in them and they just haven't stored there and everything's neat and tidy, is that okay? Or does it have to be, is it going to be more enforced by complaints, or is it okay if everybody's sort of okay with having a couple of RVs on a vacant lot on a residential lot?
It would, the bylaw would be in effect, and so it would be the same regardless what area town you lived in. In a residential area, it would be...
Is the bylaw enforcement office going to go up down the streets and ding, 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 is this how this is going to work?
Well, I can't speak to that.
Yeah,
okay. No. What's that? I don't know the answer to that. Okay. We can talk to Steve about that when he arrives, I think, maybe.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. My name is Lori Lickman. I own property in town, but I live in the county and sit on county council. And I totally agree with this bylaw. I have seen cases where it never fails. It gets carried away. And people put in this vehicle, and this is only here temporarily. Pretty soon there's another one because we happen to get a good deal on this. It's only staying here for a while. And then pretty soon more comes and more comes and more comes. And you've basically got a junkyard between some really nice houses. And it's not that the vehicles don't have license plates. They do. There are 7 hamlets in the county, and we struggle with all of them. So I'm in favor of this bylaw. I hope it goes into effect, and I hope it stays so that it keeps the community as vibrant and people wanting to come in.
Thank you. Would anyone else? Okay.
Tanya Atkinson. I have an RV sitting on a lot with, I guess, a garage on it. Am I allowed to park it there? And I agree with this, but I just need clarification.
What is the zoning?
Residential.
Residential. Okay. We can ask Steve for clarification on that.
Okay.
But there's no dwelling on that lot?
There's a garage there.
Just
that's
a garage.
What I'm saying.
Okay.
That's all that's there.
Okay. Are you okay to wait till he gets here for an answer?
You betcha.
Okay, perfect. Thank you. Would anyone else? Okay.
Karen Wilms. I'm new to town. I do like this bylaw. I think it's a good way to support the community in making sure that our neighbors are keeping up property values for each other, and also a way to really encourage people who want extra storage to maybe purchase in the industrial area or use the campground for camping. So it has the potential to increase maybe a storage business in the village or utilize the campground more, which would be good for the village too. So I'm in support.
Thank you. Anyone else like to speak?
Hello, I'm Sheila Smith. I have a question as to why trailers and cars and whatever are being stored on the residential. Why isn't that in the industrial? And I am definitely in favor of this bylaw. Also, I was wondering why 2 RVs. Like, what's the thought behind having 2? Why not just 1 per family? That's where I'm coming from.
Okay. Okay. Sorry, I'm just.
Would anyone else like to speak in favor or against, or clarification?
Oh, I meant to say I was against that.
Okay.
Alzheimer's. Sorry, Tanya.
Okay. Oh.
I'm Deb Lickman, and I'm definitely in favor of it because I don't like seeing so many vehicles parked beside my house. Thank you very much.
Okay. Okay. Yes?
I'm Marilyn Dixon. Just in answer to another comment, I don't see why we have the right to limit somebody's RVs to 1. I like 2. lots of people have a little camper. Ourselves, over the years, we've had two or three, maybe to the chagrin of our neighbors, but we've tried to line them up. They've always been licensed. So I'm confused about it all, but I definitely wouldn't remove it from two to one. So okay. That's the thought process right now. Thank you.
Thank
you. Okay. Okay. Would anyone else like to speak in favor or against?
I just want to say I'm opposed.
Okay. Okay. Anyone else like to speak? So then do we close it or do we wait till Steve comes or? Pardon?
Yeah. So do we close the meeting and then reopen it or do we? I don't know how that works.
Okay. Our guy is just.
Question? Is it either a yay or an nay? Everybody should put in their input whether you're against or for it. I'm against it. Some people are for it. It's up, everybody has the right to say how it feels.
Okay. Yeah, and that's what this is for. So if you'd like to speak up for or against it, you're more than welcome to, but you don't have to vote on it or anything like that. That's not what this is about. That is, no, but, yeah.
Marilyn, again, at the beginning you said you were going to deal with what makes up an RV. Am I jumping the gun and you just haven't thought to that yet?
Oh, no, sorry. It's in Schedule A. Okay. So I printed off, obviously not enough for everybody, but there is a copy of the proposed bylaw. And then there's a copy of what the definitions and the schedules will be amended to reflect. So an RV vehicle, for those that don't have the paper, means a vehicle or trailer built on a single chassis and designed to be a self-propelled, mounted on, or towed by another vehicle, which is not normally more than 2.6 meters or 8.5 feet in width and 37.16 meters squared or 400 square feet in area. It has to conform to the CSA Z240 standard for RVs. A recreational vehicle is not designed or intended for use as a permanent dwelling, but as temporary living quarters for recreational camping, travel, vacation, or seasonal use, and shall not be used as a permanent dwelling unless certified by a safety codes officer and approved by the development authority. Examples of recreational vehicles include, but are not limited to, a travel trailer, a camping trailer, a truck camper, a motorhome, a fifth wheel trailer, or a van. So that would be the definition for an RV under this bylaw.
Thank you, Kelly.
You're welcome. Sorry, I apologize. I didn't expect this many people, so I didn't copy enough copies.
Hi. I need a little bit of, Fran Monkman, I need a little bit of clarification. So is this bylaw just going to address RVs and or cars and trucks?
Right now, this one is just about recreational vehicles.
Just about recreational vehicles.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
Yes?
Hi, I'm Barbara Elliott. I'm new to the village, so bear with me. I do not know what the current law is, so to change it to this, what is it currently?
Currently, there's nothing specifically around RV, like numbers of recreational vehicles on residential lots. The only standard in the land use bylaw is that there needs to be a dwelling on your residential lot in order to park any vehicles on it.
Okay. Now, Kelly, when you say any vehicle, you mean any vehicles?
Yes. Yes, any vehicles. Yes. Yeah, on a non-developed lot.
Yes, Paul.
And just last question, is there a problem in the village of this? Are there people living in their RVs? Is that
not specifically that, but there is problems in the county. And so all of the villages and hamlets in the county were advised to kind of consolidate the bylaw and make it so that it's the same, similar everywhere.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So why are we even entertaining this if it's not a problem in this town?
Exactly.
So it is. I don't get why we're even we're regulating something that's not a problem. It sounds like it's being overregulated. I understand if it was a problem. So I'm not for it.
Hi, I'm Terry Underschultz. I currently have three trailers, and I want to know what the classifications are to an RV. I know you just read them out.
Mm-hmm.
But I have a holiday trailer, I have a small cargo trailer, and I have a small open car hauler trailer. Are those classified as RVs?
No.
No. That's a good question.
This is Steve Hardy. He's our planner from ORSC. So he can answer any questions that we...
Because they're not recreational vehicles.
No, just right. So just your trailer would be covered. Okay. Yes. Sure, if you want to ask your question again, then I don't misconstrue it.
Tanya Atkinson, I have an RV that's on a lot with a garage on it. Is this going to... cause me trouble? It's not a dwelling. It's a garage. It's a residential area. It's across the street from me, and I look after the lot for the people. I'm on there with permission, and so I'm just wondering if that's pertaining to me that I have to move my RV off there.
It's a lot without a garage?
Yes. Mm-hmm. It's a residential.
Just the garage?
Yeah.
She's not living in it.
No.
It's being stored there. Nobody's living in it.
The garage was built years ago.
Was there a house there one time or never a house?
They were going to build it. It just happened. Yeah.
I don't know what the circumstance of your garage when it was built.
And it's not mine. It's somebody else's that I'm looking after their lot for them.
Oh, yeah.
They don't live
there.
Here in Carmengay. They live in Calgary.
Okay.
It's out of sight, out of mind. It's looked after. All that. So.
That is actually a situation I might have to look at closer in the wording of the bylaw to see. Typically, under a bylaw, in a residential zone, a dwelling is the principal use. Anything other than a dwelling, a shed, a gazebo, a deck, a garage, is what's defined as accessory or ancillary use.
Mm-hmm.
Under all municipal bylaws, you have to have, it might be not an exception, but majority of the case in all communities, you have to have the principal use there established first before you're allowed to have a garage or a shed or a deck without a dwelling there.
Mm-hmm.
Those are accessory to a resident. So obviously if there's not a residence there, they're accessory to nothing because there's no house.
Okay.
So I don't know the circumstances of this garage on this lot without a house. It'd be what we now call a non-conforming use without a house being there. But that it might be a situation, you might have to look at the exact language of the bylaw and if that would be captured or not, and if they want to make allowances for something like that in pre-existing situations. But
okay, so for now it's okay to sit there, or do I have to move it?
Well, it's okay for now because they haven't passed the bylaw yet. So.
Okay. I'll wait till that day then.
Okay, well, sir, that's good because I was told my vehicle was going to be told.
Actually, Ron had clarification.
Ron has what?
Clarification that he wanted to ask Steve Hardy.
Oh, is that my question? Yes. My name's Ron. I live here in town. If this bylaw goes through, are there going to be bylaw going up and down the road, pointing fingers and writing tickets, or is it going to wait until somebody complains? And it also kind of contradicts itself about having two recreation vehicles on a building with a lot with a building on it. In residential, and then it goes at the bottom of that, it says temporarily have two recreation vehicles stored. So what does that mean? Does that mean like I own my own house and I have a place for two recreation vehicles temporarily? That just so temporarily means 11 and a half months out of the year, I can only go camping twice, you know, 2 weeks out of the year. So temporary, what does that mean? I don't understand what that means. It already
gives permission on one side, then it takes it back.
Because this would not
Yeah, so temporary means that they're there non-permanently. So they're moved off the lot. They're not there full time. This clause here is a section in the bylaw that says that the two personal vehicles may be temporarily stored on a lot that you don't need a development permit. So there might be cases where, let's say if somebody was going to put in a, likely wouldn't happen in the town, but in the village, but if somebody was going to put in a business such as RV storage or RV sales, that type of thing, where it's a business, and the vehicles are going to be there for a long extended time, they might be sitting on the lot for a year, never moved, that type of a thing, is that you need a development permit if it's a more of a commercial type of venture.
Sorry, that already says that if you have a dwelling, you're living in a dwelling, you can temporarily store two RVs there.
Yeah, so this part of the bylaw is saying that if you are on a residential lot with a dwelling, you don't need to come to the town to get a development permit to have your RV, your two RVs parked there. In other instances, if it was a commercial lot, and they had 10 vehicles parked at all the time, they would need to come to the village to get a development permit for that, because that's classified then as storage.
So you can live in your RV if you have a, if you're actually going to build a home. I'm going off the subject here because I'm still not clear on it. But you can have, you can actually live in your RV if you're building a home on a lot, right?
No, you can't.
Where are you going to live?
We have the campground is what we've suggested to people who are building.
Well, that's $500 a month. How not a lot of people can afford that stuff? And this is another thing. Not a lot of people can afford to do all this fancy. It's cost $350,000 for an average home. And a lot of people can't afford it. No, I can't. So, I mean, not that any, I'm not saying it's right to live in your camper, but if you're building something on something, you should be able to, or even, even give it some thought. I mean, nobody can, nothing's written in stone anywhere. So, I mean, I don't see what's really bothering anybody. I don't see one person complains about something and then the whole town's in trouble. You know, it's just crazy. Two, three people might say it's okay. One person says it's not. I don't know.
Okay.
I'm for just peace and contentment myself. Anyway, that's just me.
And Valerie, you had something for clarification that you wanted to ask? Sorry.
Oh, right.
I forgot to write it down.
Was, and is there a problem? Like, do we have a problem here? And to your note, I thought it was actually okay if you bought property and lived in your RV while you were building. I thought there was a specific code around that or a specific law, perhaps not in this county. Anyway, that was more of my question, is what the current is. And I guess the adjunct to that is, is there a problem? Do we have a problem where we're over-regulating ourselves?
Yeah.
Like, for this little village.
So this is more, I think, just nipping things in the bud based on what's going on in the rest of the county and in neighboring communities. So we just want to prevent it from becoming a problem where it's harder to deal with after the fact.
Okay. So, question. Hard to find workers here, so I'm bringing in a worker from out of town, and they're going to stay in my RV on my property while they build. That's okay, right? It's temporary. Yes, and there's a house on the property.
So under the proposed changes, it does say that you're allowed to have guests stay temporarily. Sorry, I just got to find the wording here.
Okay. So
a personal recreational vehicle in the property, a personal recreational vehicle in the property owner's driveway or backyard may temporarily be used for occasional overnight accommodation of family or guests to the residents who are not staying long term, provided no fee is collected and it does not occur for more than 21 days in a given calendar year, and the temporary use is not disruptive or a nuisance to neighbors. So that's the proposed wording.
I can't build a house in 21 days.
So anyway, I don't know where that rule comes from, but so I'm just not for this.
Okay.
I don't understand the reason for this. So
okay.
It feels like there's a lot of hoopla.
Okay.
So
I'm speak just asking
for clarity of why we're doing this. Just because it happened somewhere else, that we're assuming it's happening, going to happen here.
Well, if I speak to that, Mr. Mayor, there is
one person complained.
Can you just be quiet, please?
Well,
he's speaking.
You know, I'm back here looking to talk.
Thank you.
My name's Dale.
Okay, Steve.
In order for a municipality to enforce their bylaws, they need the bylaw on the books. So they're trying to be proactive here to put the bylaws in place before incidents happen. There's across southern Alberta, and many municipalities are experiencing problems lately with people living full-time in their RVs. That does become an issue for the municipality, and usually what the issue is, it becomes a health issue because a lot of these other municipalities are experiencing where people are just simply running a hose out of the RV and draining onto the lot or onto the street or back laying their raw sewage. That becomes a health issue for the municipality when that is occurring. And there's been a number of municipalities in this area who have experienced that problem over the last year to two here with people living full times in the RV and not properly disposing of their sewage waste.
Okay. All right. So, Dale, you have a question for Steve?
Yeah.
Is it relating to this bylaw?
Pardon me?
Is it relating to this bylaw?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Okay. Well, Sir Nellinger here, is this retroactive from the time this bylaw is passed? Because it's not passed. It's still being talked about. Are people grandfathered in, or does everybody have to just panic and get rid of everything? And, you know, because it was okay, now it's not. And how far does that go back? Or does it... There's a couple more meetings, so from the time it's made a law, is that the time it comes into effect?
It depends what part of the bylaw you're referring to. There's actually no such thing as a grandfathering in the bylaw. Once the bylaw comes into place, the day it's passed is the day that the law is. Anything prior to that is considered non-conforming. So there's different parts of this bylaw. Some have to do with the use. Some have to do with the storage of the number of the vehicles. So currently, under the current village bylaw, on a residential lot, a vacant residential lot, nothing can occur there without a house on the property. That's been in the bylaw that way since the late 1960s. You have to have a house on a residential lot before you can put a garage or a shed or a gazebo or anything on that residential lot. Without a house on there, it's just a vacant lot. Nothing else can occur on there without the house. The house is the principal use in a vacant residential lot. That's been that way in the bylaw since the late 1960s.
I got you. But I talked to the bylaw officer last week, and he said everything looked good to him. Because I believe this is about my property. And I talked to Kelly about it, and things were good. And then all of a sudden, 4 days later, they're not good. And the bylaw guy says he was contacted.
Okay, sorry. Once again, this has nothing to do with the bylaw that we are here having a public hearing about.
It
really
does.
Doesn't.
No, if you keep it to the question to what they're talking about here, getting into an argument.
Well, who's getting into an argument?
You keep going in circles with your debates. That's not what this is for.
Because I haven't got an answer for it. How's that?
This is not the place for that conversation. That's not what this is for. This was to ask you.
I'm just looking for an answer.
Yes, and you can have that answer not at this meeting. That's not what it's for. If I have to ask you to stop, you will be asked to leave.
It's not a problem, my friend.
Okay. So
that's all I was doing. I was asking you a question. Okay, just one other question here. So far, where are we here? Is it 3-1, 4-1? Where do we stand? And then I'll leave. Okay?
This is just a public hearing about the bylaw.
Well,
we're not voting
we're
on it right
yes,
now.
We're saying no. Where are we so far? Are people in favor of not doing anything about it? That's all I'm asking, because we're all giving our opinions.
Council will take it back. Okay. I think that's okay. All right. So is there anyone that would like to... I think we've heard you and we've written down your comments. Council will discuss the input from everybody and make a decision from there.
So is there anybody else that would like? Yes?
So just two things. Number one, is there going to be a vote, or is this just arbitrarily decided by the council?
It is decided by the council, taken into consideration the input that has been provided by the public.
Okay. I don't think it's fair if you're limiting people to only having two RVs when there are several properties in town that have 6, 10, 12 other vehicles. I think there's kind of an unbalance there. So if you're limiting people to how many RVs they can have on the property, it's really not fair.
We do have a community standards bylaw that I believe speaks to vehicles in general.
It's obviously not enforced.
Right. So in order to enforce bylaws, there needs to be a complaint. Is that true? Like, we just don't walk around town and tag people for having four vehicles when they should have two.
So is it going to be the same with the RVs? It's going to be on a complaint basis? I think that was asked before, so...
That was a question I didn't know the answer to.
It's up to the council. It's up to the village, yeah.
It's what?
It's up to you guys how you want to enforce it.
Yes,
true.
Okay. I guess that's something we have to discuss.
Okay.
Thank you.
John Baker, thank you. Okay, is there anyone else that was... Oh, Marilyn?
So I'm asking... for people that have owned the lot next to us to the east, they live in Calgary. They had it 5 or 6 years maybe, and they currently now have a holiday trailer on it. And they're a great couple. They come out and love the area, stay in it 2 or 3 times a year, hope eventually to retire there. So I guess none of us were aware of the fine print, like you have to have a dwelling on it. If they had a dwelling, they wouldn't have the RV. But since they have the RV, and they keep the lot mowed and tidy and stuff, none of us have ever thought anything about it. So it's, and I know they've paid their taxes on it. I guess where they stand is once this gets passed, if it passes, they'll have to get that trailer out of there like instantly or get fined or what? How? What would that look like? They, their English isn't great, so I want this simplified when I contact them to let them know. Thank you.
I'll just follow that. That I'm not sure. Mm-hmm. That I'm not sure. Yeah.
So would there be a grace period for...
Yeah, that
those situations and other situations where people have like three or four.
Yeah, I think definitely council would like to work with people so that it's not just tomorrow move your stuff.
Yes.
I mean, that's not realistic. Yeah. So we do understand that for sure.
I think part of the overall goals too is you want properties, the land in the village, to be built with primary dwellings. Mm-hmm. You want a primary building. You don't want properties, land bought with RVs on them because of the value of the property.
Can I ask one more?
Sure. Yes.
So if folks did have a situation where they might want a temporary exception, is that something they can address council with at the time for their situation? Just like if someone wants to build a fence that's maybe not conforming to their neighborhood, they ask for an exception and things like that. Is this a similar situation where if you had a special situation, they could come to you and talk to council or no?
They could. What the bylaw is putting in place is it's put in standards if they adopt a bylaw for that. And then say if they adopt a bylaw and says you're allowed two vehicles or whatever, the bylaw says you don't need a permit and you're allowed two vehicles on your property. So for exceptions for that, you'd be coming to the village to ask for a waiver or variance is what it's called.
Right.
It's like that with any development. If you need to go closer to the property line or have an oversized shed or something like that that doesn't fit the rules of the bylaw, you can come to the village, to their municipal planning committee and ask for a waiver or variance to that.
Okay. So is there anyone else that would like to speak, or is there any other questions you would have for clarification for Steve?
So it's okay to have two recreation vehicles on your land if you have a dwelling. And it's okay to have three cars and three trailers. Is that okay? On a driveway. And nobody's complaining. Yet. So I just want to know because I want to know.
That's pretty very
good. Sure. Are they insured?
Pardon me?
Are your vehicles insured? Because
yeah,
I mean, that's so that's what the bylaw pertaining to that.
All right. Okay, no, I'm good. Good luck, everybody. Okay. Sorry, we'll be around.
Okay.
I do have a question.
Okay, Bruce.
Now, this says temporarily, so does that mean someone's got two recreational vehicles and they don't use them for a year, but they're on their lot with a dwelling? Does it mean they have to move because it says it's temporarily?
No, that's
temporarily, but that's in the bylaw. Now, is that temporarily using it for a residence or just temporarily there?
It just
says up to two personal recreational vehicles may be temporarily stored on an owner's parcel provided it contains a principal building. But the recreational vehicle shall not be used as a residential living accommodation or as a permanent dwelling.
It says temporarily stored. That almost sounds separate from being used as a residence.
I think that's what temporarily stored means. It's not a permanent residence, so you're not putting it on a foundation or anything like that,
so
right?
It
so it's just...
It still says temporarily.
Right.
Because
it's not permanently attached to your ground.
Okay. Because it does sound like someone could come to me and say, well, it's been there a year, but I always have my RV.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right, it's not temporarily there. It's there until I go home.
You don't buy
an
RV every 6 months, right?
No. That's all. It's confusing that language. That's all, I think.
Okay.
I think
what they're referring to is not a permanent.
I know, but it's a lot of words. But yes, I know what you're saying.
If it's on the foundation,
it's
permanent.
It sounds like
it's not on the foundation.
Okay, is there anybody that would like to ask any more questions or speak in favor or opposed? If not, then I would like to thank you all for coming. This is wonderful to see the turnout, and we really appreciate the engagement. And so may I have a motion from a member of council to close the public hearing?
I will move we close the public hearing for bylaw 838.
Okay, thank you. All those in favor? And it is carried. Okay, so now we will move on to the regular council meeting. So you're more than welcome to stay for our regular council meeting if you'd like. Do we have any guests tonight? So for those of you who are new to staying at council, we have a question period where you can ask questions. I just ask that it's not any more about the public hearing, but if you have something that you would like to ask council, you can. State your name, where you live, and you have 5 minutes to speak. Can't remember what the time is, but so anybody? If not, okay.
I'll spoke out.
We'll move on to the approval of the minutes of Tuesday, April 18th, regular council meeting. Are there any errors or omissions? If not, can I have a motion to approve?
I will move to approve the meeting minutes of April 18th.
Okay. All those in favor? And it is carried. So moving on, Public Works report. So you have the report there. Is there any questions? No questions?
Nope.
Okay. Moving on to the administrator's report. Is there any questions for Kelly?
Kelly, how much did we save moving to Bell? It was quite a bit, right?
So our cell phones now are $5 a month as opposed to one was $40 a month and the other one was about $80 a month. So we good saved job. A lot.
Good stuff.
And that's just Public Works and a call-out phone. Nobody else has cell phones.
So is there any other questions for administration? Can I have a motion to approve those two reports?
I make the motion to approve the Public Works report and the administrator report.
Okay, all those in favor? And that is carried. Correspondence.
Let me just speak.
Yeah, okay.
So I sent a letter to the Minister of Municipal Affairs requesting a time extension to hold a public auction for two properties in Carmengay that are in tax arrears for well over the 3 years that's mandated by the MGA. We were granted permission and they asked that we hold the auction, the public auction for the properties listed no later than March 31st, 2024. So that was one piece. Another piece of information or correspondence was a request from a member of the municipality that would like to see council consider passing a bylaw to give permission to individuals to use off-highway vehicles or side-by-sides within the village. So that will be something that we would take to council, but that's
so maybe on the September or the June
meeting. So that's for information. And then all municipalities in Alberta also received a letter from the mayor of Yellowhead County requesting a delay in the election. And it was just sent out to all municipalities, so I was just bringing that to council's attention as well.
Okay.
And that was all the correspondence.
Okay. So we'll move on to the financials. Any questions on the cash position?
No, we're going over the budget. Okay.
How about the payments? Is there any questions on that? Okay. So, none. Can I have a motion to approve the financials?
I will make a motion to approve the financials.
Okay. All those in favor? And it is carried. Okay. The project water update.
Do I speak on that?
Yeah.
Okay. So MPE put the project out for tender to install the 12-inch line from the water plant south along CP Rail under the tracks and then connect at Whitney Street so that we'll have firefighting flow and consistent significant pressure increases across the village. The tender closed on May 9th. MPE sent us the package of all the information and because of the nature of the discussion, it will be done in closed session, and then we will come out of closed session to make a motion on which contractor we will be going with for the project.
And so when does the other one, sorry?
So this is for the construction portion of the project. There's a second project where they're going to upgrade the pump, the generator, and the electrical in the water plant, so that it obviously can pump the water into the bigger line. And that one will go for tender in the next 2 weeks. It's a separate project because it can be done a little bit later than the construction project. They didn't want it all going on at the same time. So that one will go to tender, and then we will receive the bids on that and make a decision probably in 3 to 4 weeks, I'm guessing. Okay. Any questions for Kelly? Okay, water meters. So we have numerous water meters across the village that aren't working properly. We're slowly trying to purchase more so that they can be switched out and installed. Rhodes Plumbing has agreed that they will come and install the meters if it's at the fault of the property owner, if they've been bypassed or disconnected or frozen or anything like that, then that cost will probably be passed on to the homeowner kind of on a case-by-case basis when we have to go in and take a look. Otherwise, if it's just faulty meters and things like that, then that would be covered by the village.
Okay. I thought we had talked about Jan doing...
He wasn't around.
Okay.
He's just away too much, so okay. He couldn't. So that was okay. A quote we got from Rhodes.
Okay. All right.
Question?
Yep.
How do you know if your water meter is one that's not working properly and or...
When we run the utilities every second month, we have a tablet and it's radio frequencies from the antennas on the meter. So we can pick up your meter reading as we drive around town. You'll either see me or Scott usually driving slowly up and down the roads multiple times. And some of them aren't picking up a reading. Some of them have been the same reading for years and years. We've got a couple that like to run backwards and just some that we can't get a reading off of. So we're slowly going through. There are a few that are actually broken and that have been disconnected that we're aware of. So we're going to fix those ones first. And then as budgets allow and grants and things like that, that we can buy more.
So like if mine was one of them, would I know that already?
You would probably, if you look at your water bills, you'll notice your usage. So, like some of them will say, you know, I don't know, 1,400 cubes last reading, 1,400 cubes this reading. And if you've, you know, washed your dishes and showered, you've probably used more than 0 cubes of water. So you would notice on your billing if you're not getting...
So if I'm seeing a fluctuation of different amounts?
Yes. So if your meter reads are different, then your meter's working fine. Yeah.
I should be fine.
Yeah.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
If we wanted a new one, could we just get one? Like if we were happy, I'd be happy to pay for a new one.
Sure. Are you having troubles with yours?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I am. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. We can definitely look at that.
Yeah, that'd be great. My name's Owen Archibald.
Thank you.
Okay. Moving on to C. So, holiday trailers on vacant lots. So, we need to do at least the first reading tonight. So, we want to discuss this.
Do you want to come back?
What's that?
Or do you want to have it discussing possible amendments and have it come back to council?
Okay. Prior to first reading? Okay. Do you guys want to do that? Discuss amendments prior to first reading?
Do we have any amendments?
What clarification on that?
What
the RV?
Temporary thing?
On the temporary? Yeah. So do we want to table it then? Before first? Okay. Do you want to do that? Or do you want to proceed with first reading?
We could do first reading and still do amendments, right?
Or if it's a minor, bring it back as amendment.
Okay. He said if it's minor amendments, we can bring it back as amendment for second reading. Okay.
Okay.
What's up?
We can bring it back with minor amendments and do after first reading.
Yeah. Do first reading today.
Let's do that.
Okay. Okay, so I need somebody.
Okay, I would like to read for the first time the bylaw of 838 for the village of Carmody in the province. to amend bylaw 742, land use bylaw. Is that one?
Yeah. Okay. So is there any discussion on this? If not, all those in favor? And it is carried. So now we can do the amendments prior to second and third. Okay. Sewer issue.
So that sewer issue was dealt with, and a letter was sent to the property owners that the report that was submitted to the office stated that the blockage was on their property.
Okay, that's been dealt with. Okay. New business.
This is the last bylaw that the village is required to fix to make it in line with how municipal affairs would like certain bylaws to be, I don't know the word, set out, I guess. So this one is actually a repealing bylaw. A few years ago, there was a bylaw passed that enabled the CAO to consolidate other village bylaws without a motion from council. It was not written properly as per municipal affairs. They flagged it in a review of our bylaws and asked us to amend it to fall into line with how they would like it written. Council discussed this previously and felt that there was really no need for the CAO to be in charge of consolidating bylaws without motions. So this bylaw will rescind bylaw 810, which is a consolidation of other Village of Carmengay bylaws, so that it's no longer enacted.
Okay.
Is that? Yep. Makes sense? Okay.
I will make a motion to for bylaw 837, bylaw to rescind bylaw 810, consolidation of other village Carmengay bylaws. This first time, May 16th, 2023. Is there any discussion? If not, all those in favor? Okay. Somebody want to do second reading?
Okay. I will make a motion to read for the second time the bylaw 837, the rescinding of bylaw 810.
Okay. All those in favor, and that is carried. Can I have a motion to go into to do third and final reading tonight? All those in favor, that's carried unanimously.
You make a motion.
I did. Okay.
And then I will make a motion for the third and final reading of bylaw 837. It's rescinding bylaw 810 for the consolidation of other village bylaws.
Okay. All those in favor, and that is carried. So now that completes all municipal affairs
yes.
requirements, right?
Yes.
Woo-hoo. Yay. Okay. Benchmark assessments.
Okay, so our contract with Benchmark Assessment Consultants Incorporated expires on the 30th of June this year. They have provided us with a new contract. Rates have slightly increased. They will now be $28 a parcel for this year, and then they will increase by $1 a parcel for each year until the end of our five-year term in June of 2028. These rates will include all appeals, even commercial and industrial, which weren't previously covered on our prior contract. And yeah, if you have any questions. Great.
Any discussion on that? So can I have a motion?
Okay, I'll make the motion to approve Benchmark Assessment's new contract.
Okay, all those in favor? And that is carried. MSP grant funds.
So the Municipal Sustainability Project grant was given out during COVID, I believe. We did have a extension request that was in place to request the funds till December 31st of 2022. I did get a message from Municipal Affairs saying that if we didn't spend that money before the 31st of December, that we would need to pay it back to the government. So I did get permission to use that. It's $16,454 from that grant that we can put towards the water project that's going on right now. So my request to council would be to have a motion to move $16,454 from our reserve funds to be transferred into the AMWWP grant account to cover off the invoices that we paid last year towards the water project.
Okay. Any discussion for Kelly? If not, can I have a motion?
I move that we... I make the motion to move $16,454 from reserves to the AMWWP project expenses.
Okay. Any discussion? All those in favor? And that is carried. Okay. The Library Memorandum of Understanding.
A few months ago, the council, village council, and myself had a meeting with the Carmagee Library Board to kind of discuss things that the village provides to the library board and things that the library board provides for the village, and just to come to an understanding of where we each stand. Just for some background, the village also did a memorandum of understanding with the Lions Club for the campground just recently, just so that there's no confusion if anything changes over the next few years, that everybody knows who's responsible for what and kind of a background of why. So do we need to read this out or just...
We can go over it.
Okay. So if you want to listen to me talk for a bit, in an effort to continue the partnership between the Village of Carmagee and the Carmagee Library Board now and into the future, the following memorandum of understanding will itemize the areas of responsibility for both the Village and the Library Board. The Village of Carmagee will provide the following financial support and public work services: forgiveness of their water, sewer, and garbage utilities, payment of electricity bill for the library building to a maximum of $3,600 per year, payment of insurance for structure, contents, and liability, maintenance of external portion of the library and the grounds, the appointment of board members by request of the library manager, payment of requested yearly library contribution, the payment of the Chinook Arch yearly requisition, program support as requested, and indoor maintenance on a case-by-case request, such as changing of batteries in the smoke detector. The Carmagee Library Board is responsible for the following: natural gas utility payments, telephone and internet, staff wages, accounting and audit costs, any grant writing, program planning, funding and execution, purchasing of materials, advertising and promotion, conference and professional development costs, maintenance, cleaning, and upkeep of the inside of the library building, any additions or renovations to the building that will be built, maintained, and serviced by the Carmagee Library Board. And the Carmagee Library Board will be responsible for securing and purchasing additional liability insurance as required for any events or activities that fall outside of the insurance that's already provided by the Village of Carmagee. This MOU shall be in effect from the date of signing for a period of 10 years, if it's passed.
Agreed.
This part has to say the Friends of the Library.
Friends, okay. So that's additions, renovations to the building will be built, maintained, and serviced by the Friends of the Library. And I missed a point under the village's any additions or alterations to the library building should be presented to the Village of Carmagee Council prior to commencement of work.
Okay, this is an old copy, sorry. So this is basically a summary of what we did with the sit down with them.
Yes.
Okay.
And this is a back and forth between Kelsey and I of who actually does what right now and what she would like into the future and what we would like into the future. So.
So, do you guys have any other with that change? Any other discussion?
No.
No? So, can I have a motion for Kelly to sign us?
No. I make a motion to give the library the MOU between the village and the library, okay, as stated.
Okay. Amended. Okay. All those in favor? And it is carried. Okay. Marquis Lodge build.
Do you want to speak to this or do you want me to?
No, you can't.
Okay. So the Marquis. So the Marquis Foundation is planning a new seniors lodge in Vulcan. A large portion of it will be funded by grants and loans, but the Marquis Foundation is requesting a one-time capital requisition from our village for $16,020. That's in addition to our current requisition, which is a yearly fee that we pay of $6,942. So there is a letter here that Marquis is requesting that the village pass a motion to sign in order for them to apply for a large grant from the province. Do I read it? Or do we?
Well, you can if you want, but okay, we've read it. I don't think we need to.
Okay. Basically, in order to apply for this grant from the province, they're asking for a demonstration of commitment from Carmengay to pledge our respective share of $1,500,000 by the member municipalities towards this project. So the $1.5 million is shared between the County of Vulcan, the Town of Vulcan, and then our villages, Arrowwood, Carmengay, Champion, Lomond, and Milo.
I have a question.
Sure.
Will we still have our manor here? Mm-hmm. Are they still supporting the mill? Mm-hmm.
Yes. Yeah.
They want to build a new lodge, and it will cost $27.5 million is the projected cost. It'll be a 60-bed facility, and right now they're asking for a commitment for $1.5 million from all the municipalities and the county. The government, or CMHC, requires that to show that you're vested in the project. The county and the town, well, Carmengay has been very vocal and very upfront that we don't have $16,000 to put in, but they are looking for financial commitment from the communities within Vulcan County.
Now, we wrote a letter of support when this first started. And the reason we wrote the letter of support is we were told that there was no financial commitment to Carmengay. Now they are asking for us to do another letter with a financial commitment on it. We did state that the town of Vulcan is going to get this brand new lodge and everything there, and the town of Vulcan is going to get taxes from it. Carmengay is getting nothing from it. They said there will be people from the village that may end up going into that. I told them that probably 80% of our population is not from Carmengay anymore. So the chance of someone going there is slim. But even if it did, they are going to pay the exact same fee going to that lodge than if it's someone from Timbuktu. So
of the $1.5 million, the town and the county pay the most, of course, and the villages would be on the hook for $66,000. So
our share being
$16,020. So, I mean, we have said we would support the project as long as there was no financial impact to the residents. And, yes?
Did they explain why there was a change in that? Because they accepted that there was no financial...
Because when they went to do the applications, I can't remember if it's CMHC or the other grant.
It's the AHPP grant.
Okay, the Government of Alberta AHPP grant wants to see that communities involved are financially vested in the project. Mm-hmm. And so the county... we had a meeting last week, and they said they are aware that we don't have the money, so if they would help us find the money if we would commit. But the letter still says that we would pay our portion of. And so at the end of the day, if they don't come up with it, we're still on the hook for $16,000.
How the other villages, what their letters say?
We don't know yet.
There is a couple other villages that did... show a concern, but everyone was pretty afraid to speak out.
Yes. The town and the county have money in their reserves for a new lodge. They have for years, but the villages don't have that.
And we really don't.
We really don't.
And we really don't.
Yeah. We really don't.
So, what do we do with this letter?
Turmoil.
We asked if we could sign the letter of support, saying we still support the project, but we don't want to commit to the finances. Mm-hmm. And they said we have to have that $1.5 million commitment in that letter.
For them to get their loan to start it.
So,
are they going to go and pay our bills if we can?
if they said they couldn't come up with it.
They said if we couldn't come up with the money, they would help us find a way to do it.
I have trust issues.
They can say anything they want.
And later on they want 1.5.
No. Yeah. You know, I hope they get their building. I just don't know how we can throw it back on our members.
It's a non-issue. We haven't gotten the money.
Okay. How are we proceeding?
The only thing I would like to do is, if we do this letter of commitment, I would like to add on that we cannot financially commit.
Sorry, you keep them both.
So what would you like to take out then?
Not even take out. I would like to add in that we cannot pledge our portion of the money because we do not have it. And they said maybe we could go around and ask for donations and stuff like that. Yeah. Well, that's not our job.
Or your community clubs could pay your portion, which...
Your village does not go to their community clubs begging for money. I'm sorry.
That's not how it works. Not happening.
I like it.
So how would you change this then, Doug? Because it says, as a demonstration of this commitment, Carmen Gay passed motion number pledging our respective share of $1.5 million.
No, I'd like to put in there. We cannot. I don't know how to put it in there, but Carmen
With
Gay
regrets.
Cannot.
With regrets.
Does not have the money to pledge our share of the $1,500,000.
Just tell it like it is. We don't have the money.
Yeah. No, we did available. Repeatedly at the meeting, and we were still told.
They don't take no for an answer.
Oh, yeah. Boy, did they. They still want it.
Well, give them a dollar.
That's right.
That's the way. We've given our share. Mm-hmm. That's all we can afford.
Pledging.
They're welcome to hold fundraisers in our community hall.
Yeah. What?
Yeah. Give them the building.
Give them the barbecue.
Yeah.
What they did say, they will come up with the money regardless, but they need this to get their thing. But I can't sign
the money first, and then they pledge it.
Well, and the one counselor said, "Well, you can sign it, but it's not legally binding. But if you signed it with a motion number on the books, it's legally binding.
And once it's in writing,
you
got it in writing.
Yeah,
yeah."
I thought that was a very interesting way.
Yes. Yeah.
I'm just going to lie
just
to you.
Just tell it like it is. We don't have the money.
I think we are totally in favor of this project for them. but we cannot pledge any money.
Okay. So
this whole third paragraph gets...
Yeah, actually, that's a very good, with regrets, we cannot commit any money at this time.
There's no funding available.
And if we raise any money on our own, we'll pay our own bills first.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. We have enough of those.
Tell them you've got a 6 to yourself.
Yeah, there you go. There's some money.
No, we don't want to give money.
No, you can't give that
money. No, yeah. True, we need that money too.
With a contract that if they win, we get half.
I'm telling you, just tell them they can rent the community hall for any fundraisers they want.
Free.
Yep. Free.
There's a guy in Lethbridge who won 55 mil. I might be able to find his number for you.
Yeah.
When did you write? I wrote, the Village of Carmagee regrets that we cannot pledge a financial commitment to this project. However, the village supports this project. It's kind of terrible. Damn, English.
Good job.
I think I just leave that in there and then with regrets, Carmagee.
However, the Village of Carmagee does support this project.
And I am totally in favor of the lodge that they have there now. I can't remember how old it is.
1964.
And the walls are, some of the halls are 27 inches.
Mm-hmm.
And to even get a wheelchair down there, they don't have it full because there's a lot of people can't stay there because they need a big wheelchair or whatever. Mm-hmm. So I agree, they need something, but we don't. Maybe if they want to build it here,
yeah,
we look at it.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Okay, great. So,
regretfully at this time, Carmagee cannot pledge funds.
Okay. I like your writing.
Okay. So we're in favor of that letter? With regretfully, we're not at this time financially committed? Okay.
That's where my TV goes.
All those in favor? And that is carried. You can give his number.
Who made that motion? Sorry.
Doug.
Thank you, Doug.
Or would you rather sue?
It doesn't matter. No, she's going to come after me.
Okay.
I don't think she likes me.
So. So, F, the auditors. Sorry, that never comes out right.
Well, actually, when I do speak to it,
I know, I think I...
So, back to the grants. One of our grants, in order to amend the MSP grant and use that money up, we need to amend the SFE Statement of Financial Expenditures from 2022 to make it zero, which then affects our whole financial statement. In speaking with our auditors last week, they said they would be happy to make the changes for us at a cost of $2,500
to
$3,000.
Oh, nice.
So, give me some whiteout. Give me whiteout. I could fix it for free.
We will be here next month at our meeting to present the audited financials, so just so you all know.
Wait, and we have RFPs going out, right?
We have what, sir?
Yeah. New auditor RFPs going out?
Yes. Okay, they will be. So I just need a motion, I guess, to be able to proceed.
We have to have them fixed.
Yeah. Otherwise, we have to pay back $16,454.
Right.
So,
And then will he fix the other monies that is misaccounted?
The MSI? Or which one? The operating one that we can...
Yeah.
The lease. Yeah, he can alter the SFE, or amend the SFEs, and then alter the year-end.
Kelly has done a phenomenal job, just so you all know. Kelly's done a very phenomenal job of getting to the bottom of our finances.
Well,
sorry.
As well as she can with what she's working with.
Yeah. So. It hasn't been an easy job, and former staff and auditors haven't been easy to work with, so we're slowly getting there.
Yeah.
Okay. So, do we need a motion?
I don't know. Do we need a motion to spend the money, or is it just for information? I don't know.
Well, we have no choice.
Is it more than what we budgeted?
Yeah, maybe. Okay.
So then we'll just...
I only have Skye Senior for two.
Okay. Okay. So can I have a motion to pay Skye for the...
Additional? I will make a motion to pay Skye additional for whatever...
Do you want to cap it? Yeah, up to.
Okay, all those in favor? And it is carried. All right, moving on to reports.
I had no reports submitted, so.
First meets on June 1st.
Okay.
Barbecue. I might actually go instead of zooming in.
Marquis, well, you all know what happened with the Marquis. Vulcan District Solid Waste. I didn't make the meeting for that one, so. FCSS.
Meets on Thursday.
Okay, South Grove.
South Grove, we haven't met since the last time I did the report.
Okay.
And Twin Valley. I went for that one, and they did do a bunch of stuff there, but the most thing that I got out of it there is we have to run a temporary line when we do our water construction here, and Twin Valley has given us permission to use our bypass down there.
Okay. Mayors and Reeves, that is the 1st of June. Vulcan County Emergency Partnership?
No.
Nothing? Okay. So that concludes the open portion. So now we will move into closed session. And so I would like to thank everybody for coming.
I do have a quick question.
Yes.
When do we find out what the water limitations are going to be during the project?
As soon as we're able to speak to the actual guys doing the structure.
Okay, we don't know yet.
No. Okay, we're not sure yet.
I'm hoping to water my vegetables that I'm growing.
Well, they have absolutely even asked us yes. to shut down.
Thanks, Callie.
Thank you very much. Water thanks for coming.
So once the guys come with the structure, we'll even talk about that.
So go to the library and do your laundry there.